Please be seated.
I'll begin with a prayer.
Dear Father, your glory shone in Jesus before the disciples. You affirmed him as your son. May Jesus shine in us, revealing your glory, your wonder and your authority to a world in need. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, the glory and the lifter of our heads. May we hear you today. Amen. So what we know is that this reading is the fulfillment of prophecy. In their times, Moses was the upholder and administer and representation of God's law, and we've read that in the Old Testament reading. And the law was the foundation of a way of living that would open up the Israelite nation to be a blessing to all other nations. This responsibility has been passed on to us through Christ. Now, Elijah fiercely defended God's law. He demonstrated the authority of God against the prophets of Baal, which ultimately brought down the evil reign of King Ahab and Jezebel. These two mighty men of God upheld God's righteousness, his righteous law, but Jesus himself is the complete fulfillment of the law. The timing of the transfiguration was the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, his death and his resurrection. Here in the glorious moment of transfiguration, the story seems marred when Jesus spits the dummy at the disciples after he came down from the mountain. The disciples have failed in their prayers to set a man free from an evil spirit. And Jesus says, O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long must I remain with you and put up with you? Pretty heavy duty words. And I'm going to draw a long bow here. And it's probably because of what we've read both in the Old Testament and the Psalms and then in the New Testament reading as well. You see, I believe that the moment Jesus was speaking to the disciples was coming from his divinity, because historically the Israelites were called to be God's people, his chosen people. They were to show all other nations what true worship was all about. The Israelites had turned from God to worship in their own ways. They lost focus on who God was and turned to corrupt concepts in how they worshiped God. The sad consequences were written down in history for all of us to read. So Jesus sees the disciples' unbelief, all of the Israelites' past failures, and he grieves. Back up on the mountain, Peter suggests making three dwellings for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The suggestion is completely overlooked, except to say Peter had no idea what he was saying. Then the presence of God comes down and God says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The words "whom I have chosen" means God has sent Jesus to be our Messiah and Saviour, in whom is the fulfillment of God's law. The words "listen to him" mean so much more than just hearing. In the translation, "listen" means to take on board all that Jesus is and will teach us. It speaks of our obedience to him, trusting and taking on the way he calls us to follow him. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says this: "On many past occasions and in many different ways, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus sits with our Father in heaven, who is the perfect law of righteousness. He took the condemnation of sin that was upon us and is now seated with God in his throne room. Jesus is now our advocate. The law says guilty, but Jesus holds up his hands and with his wounds says forgiven. So listening demands a response, to trust in him, to trust in his word. When we do, our love for him grows naturally. Jesus keeps his words towards us, and we see he is no longer distant in our imagination, but a living reality, relating to us in our daily lives. Up on the mountain, Peter wants to turn what is a supernatural phenomenon into something that is tangible and perishable. And how limited is that? Jesus teaches us that our relationship with God has nothing to do with our efforts, but he alone. God has chosen and sent Jesus not only to be our deliverance, but to teach us of God's ways. And now his Holy Spirit continues this work within us. God himself has done and is still doing this work. So we read in Corinthians 1:28-31, and it says this, that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. It is God's work. Ephesians 2:9-10, we see this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not only in Romans, it's here too. And this is not from yourself, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Amazing, isn't it? Through Christ, we are brought into a new covenant, a new promise to carry that same commission as the Israelites did, to be and show the world that true worship brings hope and life in every aspect that we live. And we call this salvation. It requires us to keep our focus on God, not the things that would perish and be corruptible. Our worship, therefore, is a living daily thing as we seek God to improve us and transform us, which is what was in our collect today, so that we do not distort worship, holding on to the things that would corrupt our souls. To listen takes obedience, and obedience trust. And trust is putting our faith in the very hand of God to lead us, to shape us, to form us, and allow all this to be his handiwork alone. Trust in me, Jesus asks, in how he sees us and in the life he has called us into, so that the Holy Spirit may speak into our souls the heavenly things of God, so that we may become like Christ to others, none of which we can achieve without listening to Jesus. He reminds us constantly to let him take over, to listen to him and obey his words. God makes himself known to us when we are prepared to listen to his Spirit speaking to our souls, so that we let go the things that would distort our focus on the glory of Christ. The Holy Spirit pricks our souls to pray or to retrace our steps or to recall what the Scripture says or to put right our relationships, or to seek a better way of living and shining for Him. But again, it takes listening. So we're coming this week to the beginning of Lent. And this week we have Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of our season of Lent, and this time of it is a time of repentance. And repentance against the things that would block us from hearing from God. None of us want to be numbered as ones who are unbelieving and perverse, to listen, to believe in Jesus Christ, so that he might be the light in us. So through Lent, fasting and praying is a good thing. But coming before God with a sincere heart so that we can learn from Him how to live out what is His pure and righteous life of salvation. In this, we come to know the deeper heart of God, and our love for Him burns brighter and brighter. Our Father asks us to listen to Jesus, even though we may not see or understand. The challenge for us is to ask ourselves, are we prepared to do so and see what God can do next, even in our little corner of paradise? This, my friends, is what we call faith. I'll conclude with a prayer. Father, like Joseph, who trusted in You when he was in slavery and jail, like Peter, who threw his net out on the other side of the boat, help us to trust that in Your ways there is always a purpose that brings hope and assurance that Christ is the resplendent glory of You, and that we can be lights like Him. Amen.